Right, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 9. Luke 10 and Matthew chapter 9. And while you're turning there, it's been a blessing to have these testimonies. I appreciate each one. Each one has been heartfelt. Some have been just a couple sentences, some a little bit longer. We've got Brother Halfordy signed up for next week, and then we've got some blank weeks after that. I know there's a few different ones that are fighting about who gets to go next. They're excited about getting their name down on there, and sometimes they just need a little encouragement along the way. So I think we can probably go another 3 or 4 weeks beyond that with the men that we have. Right, men? Yes, amen. All the ones that have already given it are saying amen. Okay, Luke 10, 1 through 3. The theme of our missions conference this year is going to praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. And so preaching today on the Lord of the harvest. And the Bible says in Luke 10, 1 through 3, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And Matthew 9, 35 through 38 says this, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so let's pray. We'll look at the message today. Father, I ask that you would help us. God, truly, there are people out there that need to be saved. We know that. Father, so many of them do not know their own need to be saved until it is presented to them, until they understand that they are sinners on their way to hell, and they understand that you sent Jesus Christ to die as their substitute, to pay for their sin. God, we pray that you would take this message. Father, help us to be a church that is willing to do our part in getting the gospel to our community, but Father, also to get the gospel around the world. God, I pray that you would burden our hearts, God, that we would see today your desire for the harvest, and then to see what we can do to be a part of that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the desire of the Lord Jesus and the Lord of harvest. So Jesus is speaking, the Lord of harvest being God the Father. Jesus also is God. We know that. So we look at this, and I want to first of all just look today at the desire of the Lord of harvest. As we read the context of these passages, there are things that come into mind. And verse 35 or 36 says this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. So the desire of the Lord of harvest is seen in his compassion as the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that God had sent Jesus to live a perfect life in order that he might go to the cross, that he might die on the cross, that he might pay for our sin penalty as he died on the cross. And he made the statement as he hung there, it is finished. And then he was buried and he rose again the third day. As he looked, as Jesus Christ looked on the multitudes, what he saw what is described in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. As Jesus Christ observes and looks at the multitudes, he is seeing sheep. He is seeing people who do not have direction in their life. He is seeing people who need God, and many of them have no knowledge that they need God. And he's seeing sheep that belong in the sheepfold underneath the shepherd, and they're scattered in every way. And as Jesus beholds this, he is moved with compassion. Now, can you imagine that God would have compassion on sinners? When we think about that and we consider the fact that God, who hates sin, God, who is thrice holy, God, who looks and says, I cannot have sin in my presence, but yet God looks down and God says, I see all of these people in the world and every one of them are like a sheep. They belong in my fold. They can't get into the fold on their own because they're sinners separated from God. But God has compassion on them. And God sent Jesus Christ to die in order to bring them into the fold. To die in order that they might come to know Christ. 1 Peter 2:25 says this. It's written from a different perspective from Isaiah 53:6. It says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Isaiah, we are sheep gone astray. Peter, we were. What happened? Peter is writing to people who have gotten saved. Peter is writing to people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their sins are all gone. They are now in the fold. They have returned to the shepherd and bishop of their soul, the one who could pay the price for their sin. What a blessing that is, that we can look at that. And if you're here today and you're saved, you can say, past tense, we were as sheep gone astray. Now we belong to Jesus. We have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. If you're here today and you're not saved, then Jesus died for you. He wants to save you. He wants you to come into the fold and be reconciled to God the Father. He already paid for your sin. You don't have to go to hell. He paid the penalty for you. He paid the price of death. So it is seen in His compassion as God looks at every person on the world. There is not one person in this world that God does not want to save. May we get that same desire. May we look at that, and as we see people, I know sometimes you look at people and it's like, oh, it's going to be so hard to talk to that person. There's just wickedness all over them. Jesus died for them. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be us. And so it does not matter what they look like. It does not matter what sins they are involved in. Every single person needs Jesus. And Jesus had compassion enough to die for every one of them. The value of the most wicked soul is paid for by the price that Jesus shed on the cross. Oh, that we would see that. We see the desire that people would truly know the gospel. The desire of the Lord of Harvest is that every person would know the gospel. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, lays this out very clearly. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Who did he die for? The ungodly. Did he die for the religious? Yeah, is it not what it says? It says he died for the ungodly. Those that were not following after God. Those that were as sheep gone astray. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. God looked down with compassion and died, sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And God's desire, the Lord of the harvest has a desire that every single creature would know the gospel. That's God's desire. God has a desire that he would be represented everywhere. If you go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, in our text passage, the Bible says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. The desire is there that people would know the gospel. The desire is there that Jesus would be represented everywhere. Jesus says, I'm going to go to that town. I'm going to send some people ahead of time to go to that town. You know, they went out two by two. It is a principle and a practice that we still use today. Saturday mornings, we meet and we try to go out two by two. Sometimes there's an odd number, somebody goes by themselves. But we go out and we knock on the doors to represent and to present the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an invitation to come to church to hear the gospel. But it is, if opportunity is there, a chance to hand a gospel tract out and say, here, look, the gospel is here. There's verses in this tract that tell how Jesus died for your sins. And if the opportunity is there and if the person is responsive, you can still give the gospel to the person. And look, we're still doing today what Jesus sent us to do. Why? Because Jesus wants to meet with every one of those people. Jesus' desire, he's like, I'm going to send people ahead of time. I'm going to send people out that they might be prepared, that when I come, they'll be ready for me. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Will the world be ready for Jesus when he comes? Sadly, most of the world will not be ready. The Bible says, few there be that find it. Unfortunately, I used to think, and we've talked about this, I used to think, boy, when the rapture takes place, there's going to be such a mass exodus out of this world of people. But now I look at towns and I think, what impact will it have on that town? Will the town really change that much? How many Christians, how many Bible believers, how many saved people are in New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Moscow? You look around the world, wherever it may be, how many people that are saved are in those cities? And when the rapture takes place, yes, there will be a notice that there's people missing. But how many out of those cities will go? How many out of our community will go? And so his desire is to be represented absolutely everywhere. And in order to accomplish that, there is a need for laborers. The Bible says in chapter 10, verse 2, therefore said he. What's the therefore? That people would go out, sending them out two by two, getting the gospel out. He said, look, I'm sending you out. I want you to go out and represent me. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the what? Laborers are few. He says it's not so much a problem of the harvest, it's a problem with the laborers. He says, look, there's people out there, but we've got to be out there enough to find those people that are willing and ready to be saved. And the more people that are out, the more chance you have of finding those that are ripe. You send two people out. Two people may go out and they may knock on doors. They might not find any person ready to hear. You send 100 people out, you're 50 times more likely to find somebody. And so as we look at this and we understand this, look, the difference between the amount of people in church on a Sunday and the amount of people out knocking on doors on Saturday is vast. There's a huge difference. And it doesn't have to be, oh, everybody's out on Saturday knocking on doors. You can talk to people at work. You can talk to people at the grocery store. You can talk to people at the gas station. You can talk to people in the park. You can talk to people. You can share the gospel with people no matter where you're at. And truly, I believe, other than the fact that we need to get to absolutely every creature, I believe if every Christian were responsive to the Holy Spirit saying, look, there's somebody that may need the gospel, if we would just stop and talk to people and speak to people, we could probably do away with the weekly door knocking. The time. This is the time where we talk to people. No other time. It shouldn't be like that. Now, we wouldn't do away with it because going out and just being out in the community, you're not going to meet every person. So we go door to door because every person needs it, and that is the only way to systematically get to every person and know that you've gotten to every person. But it takes laborers. You know, we basically, the first year I came, let me just say, we started out, we said, we're going to knock on every door in Ottumwa. And within 1 year, we knocked on every door in Ottumwa. But you know what? Faithfulness sometimes just trickles out. Now it takes us more than a year and a half. What's the difference? The number of laborers, the number of people going out. Why? Because week after week after week after week after week, some people just aren't going to do it. We need laborers. Laborers are needful, and that's the need. Men are as sheep. Men that are as sheep, these laborers, you're going out. Is it always going to be pleasant? He says in verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Is every time you knock on a door going to be a pleasant experience? Now look, most of the time people in Ottumwa are relatively nice. Okay, I haven't had anybody be really mean to me for quite some time. And some of the people, let me just say, some of the people that were the meanest to me in the past are sitting here in church today. Saved. Isn't that a blessing? Okay, you can look at it and you can understand, but what do we do? We've got to go out, and we're going out. We're not going out to do any harm, but we may be harmed. As missionaries go out around the world, they're going to take the gospel. I know a man who was executed in the country of Jordan for the gospel. He was killed by Muslims. His family is back in the States. He was over there as a missionary. He went as a lamb among wolves. He did no harm to anyone. They stopped his car and killed him in front of his wife and children because he had had some people that got saved and were going to get baptized. And people found out about it. And they killed him. We had a missionary that we supported, Brother Wesco, went to Cameroon. He was there 12 days. And it wasn't because he was a missionary, it was just because of the violence in the country. 12 days, on day number 12, they put shot a shotgun through the car window, killed him in front of his wife and child. Truly lambs among wolves. We need men that will put their hand to the plow for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Jesus said in Luke 9:62, it's the verse right before this passage, by the way. Throw out the chapter 10. You got one verse leading right into the next. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And then he goes right in and says, we need laborers. You know what we need? We need men that will go out as lambs among wolves, but we need men who will put their hand to the plow and go out and keep on. Keep on. Don't look back. Keep on. Keep on plowing. Look, there are fields that are ready for harvest, and there are fields that need plowed. And there's plowing that needs to be done in Ottumwa. And there's reaping that needs to be done in Ottumwa. Which is more fun? Reaping is more fun than plowing. Sowing is actually a little more fun than plowing. But reaping, that's what we all want. But reaping does not take place without sowing. And sowing does not take place without plowing. We're not in a society where the plowing has already been done anymore. We have to plow again. We need men who will seek to walk in the Spirit of God. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. See, God, as His desire is for people to go out, that they would know the gospel and the need for laborers. These laborers are sheep among wolves. These laborers are men who will put their hand to the plow and not look back. They are men who will walk in the Spirit of God and realize, I can't win anyone unless the Holy Spirit does a work in their heart. We're not trying to just get somebody to repeat a prayer. It's not salesmanship. It is a matter of people need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and you may be the one there when they're ready and ripe for the harvest. And if that takes place, glory to God. It's not about the number that you led to the Lord, because you didn't lead anybody without some plowing and some sowing being done first. We need men who will faithfully hold fast the Word of God. This is not a time to compromise. This is not a time to lower how God views sin in order to just get numbers. It is a time for God's Word to be faithfully proclaimed, that people might understand that they're sinners, that they might understand that they've been separated from God by their sin. That's what it's time for. People need to understand they need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from their sin. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the punishment that's there. Saved from hell. Saved to be reconciled to God the Father. And it's not just a, hey, you know, pray this prayer and you'll go to heaven. People need to be saved. And so this is the desire of the Lord Jesus. He wants us to be involved in this. And so this desire, as we look at the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, may this desire be passed on to this church body. Can we get the desire of the Lord? Luke 10:2 says this, pray ye, right in the middle of the verse, pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. As a church, are we praying? We've got it on our Wednesday night prayer list. Pray for laborers. I think sometimes we just see it. It's there. We may even go through the prayer list, and, oh yeah, God, give laborers. But are we really praying for laborers? Are we really asking God? You know, this is the... Literally, I believe it's the one thing that Jesus Christ said, this is my prayer request. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. If we'll pray and say, God, would you send laborers? There are some things that happen when we pray. In praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, you will pick up the burden of the Lord of the harvest. As you are on your knees saying, God, help this town. God, please, I pray for the people of Ottumwa that there would be laborers. Now, who is more likely to go and labor? Somebody that's praying that God would send laborers, or somebody that's just passively going on their life? When we begin to pray to God and say, God, send laborers, God will begin to work on you and say, what about you? I think sometimes maybe we don't pray because we don't want to be the laborer. Pretty hard to pray, God, send laborers, but not me. God, send Brother Schrock, and send Benjamin, and send Brother Reed, and send Brother Bradshaw, and but not me. Look, we need the desire that God has for souls. We need it. If we are truly abiding with Christ, if we truly are in a relationship with God, are not His desires going to become our desires? In praying, you will pick up the burden that God has, but in praying, you may also find that you'll become a laborer. You'll become a laborer. You know, someone that never witnesses, I have a hard time thinking that they're praying for souls. How can they be? But if we're praying for souls, probably we're going to witness. We're going to be talking to people. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord, this is the church working in a local area, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So God says, look, here's some people working in a church. They're working in the city of Antioch. They're preaching the gospel. They're winning souls. They're getting the gospel out to people. They have a church. That church is growing. And there's a couple people in that church that are working for the Lord. And God says, I have a special job for these two, Paul and Barnabas. I want them to go outside of the city of Antioch. I'll guide them. I'll direct them. I want them to go to different places. And Paul and Barnabas, as laborers in the church, were called out of the church to be laborers in places like Iconium and Lystra and Thessalonica and Philippi and Ephesus and Corinth and Rome and all of those places. What were they doing? They were going there to preach the gospel and plant churches in those places. Not every place received them. They were truly sent out as lambs among wolves. Paul was stoned, Paul was imprisoned, Paul was beaten, Paul was shipwrecked. They endured things, but they endured as laborers. Can we really get upset if somebody slams a door in our face? People need the gospel. So we were outdoor knocking yesterday. We knocked on Brother Rose's neighbor's door. Had a little conversation with him. Look, he knows that the Roses come to church here. He even said they were good people. So I don't know. He must know a different side than the rest of us. But it's no, but what is it? He already has a familiarity. He needs the gospel. Okay, he's not ready to show up at church. He's not ready yet to get saved. But what do? We keep sowing. We keep plowing. We keep planting and pray that one day there will be a harvest of a soul. Because without the harvest, the man will die and go to hell. It's not because God doesn't want to save him. There's a need for laborers. So as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So, number one, we're praying that God will send laborers. Will you pray this? Will you pray that God will help you to be a laborer? Can you witness to someone this week? Is there someone that works beside you? Is there someone that you meet and regular basis, say, you know what? Hey, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? How about this? Will you pray that God can help you to send laborers? See, how do you do that? Well, here the church sent them out. We send missionaries around the world. We've got 37, I believe, missionaries that we support currently. We're sending our own missionary up to Alaska to work. The Claypools are here. They're missionaries from Alaska. We support them as well. Look, the gospel needs to go to the world. So we give to all these missionaries on the back wall to help them every month, so that they can be somewhere in the world with the goal of them giving the gospel. They're laborers. They're willing to go. They're ready to go. They want to go. They need to be sent. And the church's job is to send them. And the church is not an organization and it's not a building. It's the people. And so we have the opportunity, God, not only make me a laborer right here, but God, help me and give me the ability to help send a laborer. Can you do that? Can you give weekly or give monthly toward missions? Not for this church, but in order to send missionaries around the world. We do not talk much about money here. Once a year we have a missions conference. And we encourage people, what can you do to send missionaries around the world? And it's totally your choice. Acts 13:3, the next verse says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know, when you send someone to be a laborer, sending may take sacrifice. This church of Antioch just lost two key people. You know, some people leave a church and there's no hole other than the pew where they sat. There's no hole in the ministries. There's no hole in anything that goes on. It's just a hole in the pew. Paul and Barnabas were called out. They were working there. You know, when somebody leaves to be a missionary from a church, they leave a hole. They were doing this and this and this. And now, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, who's gonna do that? Because we're sending them out. It takes sacrifice. For a church to send missionaries, it takes sacrifice. We also help other churches send missionaries. Most of the missionaries back there are not directly from our church. We help other churches to send missionaries. They're sent by their church. But do you realize if we gave all of our missions money to one missionary, in most countries it would be insufficient support. Yearly. It's just the economy of the thing. But it takes sacrifice. Sending missionaries takes sacrifice. But sacrifice allows for God to show His sufficiency. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a missions passage or the idea of one church helping another church. In verse 6 through 8, he says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I want to direct this verse two directions. In the passage, it's talking about financial help to another church. But the passage deals with sowing and reaping. Do you know if we sowed more just by nature, we would reap more? If more of our church were laborers witnessing in the Lord's harvest, we would reap more. If we're not dependent on 10 people out of the whole church body, would you stop and consider how many visitors have walked through these doors as a result of you inviting them? Think about it. Now, some have an advantage. Boy, you work on the bus routes. You get out and you meet kids and they come in. You've had lots of visitors walk through the doors. They're a little easier to get to walk through the doors than adults, aren't they? You may go out and knock on doors every Saturday for a long time. But it's always interesting to me. You know, we got a first-time visitor here. Are you local in Ottumwa? Yeah, and how did you hear about the church? Okay. But look, he's going around looking for a church. Walked in, did anybody invite you, or you just see it on the website? Or? Okay, all right. And we're glad he's here. And that's great. And here's another thing. When you go out and sow, God may send the harvest in another way. It doesn't always. But how many of you are here, someone sometime invited you to be here, and you came? Well, that's a lot more, right? Okay? The rest of you just showed up on your own, huh? Look, somebody put a track in your door. Somebody invited you. Someone said something about the church. Or you walked by and saw a sign or whatever it may be. But sending takes sacrifice. So if we're going to expect a harvest as a church, should we not be sowing? And if, I think we just get too satisfied sometimes. May God stir us up for souls. But then it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's just as simple as that.
I've said it year after year concerning missions. If you don't want to give, don't. And I mean it. If you do not feel like, I mean, we talk about the cards. This just helps us budget for missions. If we kind of know what's going to happen in the upcoming year, I'm going to give this much a week, or I'm going to give this, we count them. There's no names on the cards. We got no way of saying, did you do it? We have no idea. But it just helps us a little bit to budget and look and say, what can we do for missions around the world as a church? Do not, well, it's expected of me. I got to fill that card out and drop it. If you want to give to missions, do it. If you love getting the gospel around the world, then participate. If you look at it and say, I don't want to do it. God says this concerning missions. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not what? Grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. It is not this. Jaden, come on, bud. What you going to give this year? How much every week? Look, come on. Give me a number. We are not doing that to anybody. It is completely your choice. And if you want to help get the gospel around the world, do it. But God says, I love a cheerful giver. If you're looking at it saying, oh, man, I wrote it on a card that I was going to give to missions this week. Now I suppose I have to do it. Don't. Until you can get your heart cheerful about it, don't. But if your heart's cheerful about it, and you love the Lord of harvest, and you want to help send laborers into the harvest, and you're praying for laborers to go into the harvest, you just do what you can do. Notice it's every man as he purposes in his heart. Somebody will give $5 a week, somebody will give $100 a week. It's every person. According to ability, according to blessing, according to all of that, it's God's work. But look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You notice what it says there? You sacrifice and give to God, and God is able to supply your needs. God is able to help and make sure you have sufficient here. What this comes down to largely is, can we trust God to fulfill His part? You know, I can give. 10 years ago, I started giving here when I became the pastor. I'm not going to tell you how much a week, but every year it's increased, and every year there is sufficient. I have to diet. I'm not naturally this skinny, okay? Look, there's sufficient, and God is able. And can we act on faith and trust God, understanding there's a Lord of a harvest that loves people around the world and has compassion for people around the world, and God has called people to go to those people around the world. And it's not getting cheaper to go. Inflation has hit everywhere in the world. It was a lot easier when I was a missionary to get $4,500 a month than the $7,000 a month that's roughly needed now. A lot easier. If churches maintain and say, well, $100 a month, it used to take 45 churches and now it takes 70 churches to accomplish the same thing. Flights prices are up. Living in other countries is up just like it is here. We hardly ever see inflation go backwards. Say, well, it's hard. Just every man as he purposes in his heart. Let's pick up this from the message this morning. The desire of God as the Lord of harvest is that the gospel goes everywhere. God uses people to do that. We can participate in fulfilling His desires. Think about that. We can participate in fulfilling His desires, both personally as we labor in His fields, and then to send others into His fields. And both are participating in His desires. So you, as we come into missions conference, you look at this and think, God, first of all, what would you have me to do here? Second of all, God, what would you have me to do to help others go elsewhere? Let's stand to our feet. We'll pray. God wants all of us involved in this. Father, I ask that you would help us now, God, to consider your desire, to consider your compassion, God, to consider what kind of men we need to be as laborers, God, to consider that how much we can labor and how we can send others to labor. God, I pray that you would help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, I encourage you to pray for laborers. It's Jesus' prayer request. Would you pray that God would send laborers? Would you pray that God would help you to be a laborer? Is there anyone here in church right now and you say, if I were to die, I don't know where I would go. If I were to die, I might go to hell. If you need to know the gospel, if you want to get saved, if you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, we'd invite you to come. We'll show you from the Bible how you can get saved. May God help us to participate. Laborers. You're glad you're saved today. All right? Somebody labored for you, right? Boy, we can't enjoy the pleasures that God gives us without wanting to share it on with others. Would you all be seated for 1 minute? Brother Jones, would you come tell us 5 minutes about your ministry? He's just passing through. I'll give you the chance.